Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, the view from Congressional District 2. Ray Hager has the rundown.
Thanks, Sam. Today's guest is Congressman Dean Heller of Carson City. He's fresh off a visit to the Tea Party Express tour yesterday in Reed.
And part two of our interview with top lobbyist Jim Wadhams. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The resort at Red Hawk. The Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cure. And the Las Vegas Review Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
It's hypocrisy. Sharon Angle rails against government programs, calls Social Security welfare, wants to wipe it out.
We need to phase Medicare and Social Security out.
But here's the thing. She lives off her husband's Bureau of Land Management pension. And her health care, it's government paid for life. Sharon Angle is fine with wiping out your Social Security as long as her government checks keep coming. Sharon Angle, extreme and hypocritical.
I'm Harry Reid, and I approve this message.
Las Vegas Review Journal. Get inside.
As the stewards of the land, it is our responsibility to grow our businesses while keeping a watchful eye on our environment. We do this at TRI with conscientious development decisions. For example, the TRI Water and Sewer Companies are designing a new wetland program to polish the waste effluent to a superior water quality standard. While biofuel companies like Fulcrum Bio and Advanced Refining Concepts are producing clean and alternative energy from landfill waste and natural products. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
Award-winning leadership, innovative solutions, unmatched integrity. Brian Krolicki, a leader in economic development. Brian Krolicki helped create and sustain more than 21,000 jobs at a time Nevada needs them most. Lieutenant Governor Brian Krolicki.
Fighting higher taxes and making government more accountable. Steve Martin, a certified public accountant and fraud examiner, former Marine and state controller. Steve Martin will protect our tax dollars, holding government accountable. Steve Martin for state treasurer.
Championship courses and life's distractions fading away.
Join the area's best locals program, the Talon Club at Red Hawk.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis and Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, welcome back to the program. As always, Congressman Dean Heller running for re-election in CD 2. Nancy Price is the Democrat running against her. Let's start out with some news. Rasmussen, one of the most respected pollers, came out this morning saying that Sharon Angle up 3 points. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I'm not surprised. It will be interesting to see on Election Day. You know, these are random polls that, they're probably tracking daily now, and I think this is going to move up and down. But to have her ahead at this point doesn't surprise me at all.
You know, Dean, yesterday you were at the Tea Party Express rally with Sarah Palin. And, of course, Sarah Palin mentioned Sharon Angle in her race against Harry Reid. But she didn't mention Brian Sandoval, Republican running for governor. She didn't mention Joe Heck, Republican running for Congress. And you were there and you didn't even get mentioned.
Right, right.
What's going on?
Well, I think there was a goal. You know, I think she had a point and the purpose for the Tea Party Express. You know, clearly, I mean, this is of presidential proportions here in the state of Nevada, this Senate race. I think it's going to push turnout, too. I think it's going to be very high. But I think she was keying on the biggest race in the state of Nevada. And in fact, I didn't get a chance to shake her her hand while she was there. She was in and out and, you know, had her points and wanted to make her points, but that's fine.
But she didn't mention, she mentioned all these other governors and senators running in all these other races,
right.
But, you know, she didn't focus in on the crowd
right.
and who they were going to vote for.
Right. Day. Well, you know, first of all, I would disagree in trying to concentrate on Senate races. Of course, I'm in the House of Representatives, so I'm probably biased, but if there was one House that I would want to control if I was the opposition party, the Republican Party, it'd be the House of Representatives. That's where all bills originate. That's where all spending originates, regardless of whether the Senate they take control of the Senate or not. And, you know, that's obviously the big battle today is who's going to control the Senate. And they're assuming, you know, and I think it's a big assumption. I think it's a 50-50 assumption. Let's put it this way. Who's going to control the House of Representatives? But if I controlled anything, whether it's the presidency, the Senate, or the House of Representatives, I'd want to control the House of Representatives. So her message, though, you know, she's pushing Senate candidates, I think she'd be more coordinated and more focused towards House of Representatives because I think, to me, that's the most powerful House.
Yeah, Scott Rasmussen, talking about that this morning as well, said that he felt that you could take the House but not the Senate at this point.
Right, right. Yeah, no, no.
New York Times reporting today, Sharon Angle running out of cash.
Well, you know, that's kind of surprising after her third quarter numbers, you know, at $14 million.
But a lot of it was spent to raise the money. And to another point, I have other information that arrived today that says that that's not the case and that they're going to match Senator Reid dollar for dollar.
I have no doubt that she will have what she needs. You know, we always discussed this early on in this Senate campaign that Harry Reid was going to have all the money he wanted.
$25 million.
All the money he wanted, and his opponent was going to have all the money that he or she needed. She's going to have all the money she needs to finish out the next 2 weeks. So, you know, this thing's going to go down to the wire. I'll be watching it like everybody else.
You know, in a recent meeting with our editorial board at the Gazette Journal, you mentioned that you feel that people working in Washington, D.C., they really have little regard with what's happening outside, like outside the Beltway and in Nevada, because they're all employed and they all have jobs and life is fine for them. Could you maybe elaborate on that? I thought that was very interesting.
Well, I call the Beltway the recession-free zone. You know, I mean, we're hiring. We hired 75,000 new federal employees in this country, most of them in Washington, D.C. But I have no doubt everybody's employed. Everybody's getting pay raises. Everybody owns a home. And, you know, the problem with it, and I get myself in trouble every time I talk about it, so thanks for bringing it up. But there's a real disconnect between what's going on in Washington, D.C. and what's going on in the rest of the country, to the point that even some of my colleagues pulled me aside and said, hey, don't talk that way. And I said, but it's true. It's true, and that's why I spend a tremendous... I never spend the weekend in Washington, D.C. I'm always coming home. Weekly, I do those teletown hall meetings so that I'm in connection with my district. And I've been doing it for 4 years now, weekly teletown hall meetings. I want people in my district telling me what's going on in Reno, what's going on in Elko, what's going on in Las Vegas, Carson City, Douglas. And then if they have any questions about what's going on in Washington, D.C., you know, raise those questions. And we do this once a week, and I think that's how you stay in connection. And unfortunately, we don't see a lot of that in D.C.
You know, one of the things that Rasmussen brought up this morning was that this is an election about voting against rather than voting for, and that if things don't change dramatically in the next cycle, it's going to be exactly the same story. So the Republicans could take the House this time
right.
around and then lose it in 2 years.
Right. No, I have no doubt that 2010 is all about 2012. You know, we talk about the Tea Party when I was at the event yesterday, and a bunch of news people asked me, you know, is this a rift within the Republican Party? I said, no, this is just the beginning. In fact, I don't think that the beginning of the Tea Party movement had anything to do with President Obama. It had everything to do with George W. Bush. That's where it started. It started with the bailouts. It started with Republicans who had control of Washington, D.C., that didn't know what fiscal responsibility was all about. That's where the Tea Party got started. Now, no doubt, the Obama administration, the proposals of Reid and Pelosi have allowed this thing to grow. But keep in mind, I was in Carson City in May of 2009 with the first Tea Party rally in front of the legislative building. You know, no legislators came out, even though there were thousands of people in front of that building, and they thought, oh, this is all AstroTurf and everything. This is all about 2012. Yes, we're going to get through the 2010 election, and it's going to have impact, but I think it'll be minor compared to what's going to go on in this presidential election 2012.
And is this the platform for your 2012 senatorial run?
How did I know you were going to move that in there? We'll talk about that in about 6 months.
Okay, or we can just take a quick commercial break and come right back to it. We'll be right back on About a Newsmaker after this timeout.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
I'm Sharon Engel, and I approve this message.
You're looking at every time Harry Reid voted to raise taxes. Income taxes, taxes on Social Security, taxes on small businesses, even the dreaded death tax. A staggering 300 times Reid voted to raise taxes, and it's a big reason for Nevada's economic meltdown. Now Reid and Pelosi are planning to raise taxes on 34 million families right after the election. Let's stop Harry Reid from ever raising our taxes again.
Retailers, businesses where all of us shop. Good for you and good for Nevada. We're the Retail Association of Nevada, working to strengthen the business environment for Nevada retailers. And that's good for you. Retailers create nearly 500,000 jobs for Nevadans, generated over $2 billion just in sales tax revenues in 1 year, provided nearly $700 million to help our schools, and built a $20 billion positive impact on our state's economy. Retail works for Nevada and works for you.
Today, most Nevadans are working twice as hard to make ends meet. But not Rory Reid. As Clark County Commissioner, he missed over 140 votes in the last 2 years alone. 140 votes. And Rory even skipped five of the last six elections in his own hometown of Henderson. Wow. If we can't trust Rory Reid to show up for work, why would we trust him as governor?
Sharon Engel voted against background checks to identify sex predators. She's against enforcing restraining orders that protect victims of domestic violence. She says rape victims should be forced to have the baby. Sharon Engel would wipe out Social Security, Medicare, and she'd privatize the VA.
Oh, she's wild. She's wild. I mean, and with the wild ideas she has, we would never get anything done.
I'm Harry Reid, and I approve this message.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shadd.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Congressman Dean Heller, running for re-election in CD2 against Nancy Price, the Democrat. Let me just follow on, if I may.
Okay.
Story in the Review Journal, Ensign fundraising dwarfed by legal fees. Expenditures leave Senator with $280,200, an amount that could be exhausted by year's end, and he only raised $8,550 over the past 3 months. You have not had any kind of fight in this go-around, so will you be able to transfer all of your money from your congressional funds into a senatorial campaign?
Well, clearly through FEC regulations and rulings, certainly I could do that if I choose to.
But this is pretty much saying that Senator Ensign is finished.
Well,
it's like what happened with Jim.
He has work in front of him.
Well, I have no doubt. It's what happened
and he
with
knows
Jim.
That too.
It's what happened with Jim Gibbons. When Jim, you know, you looked at Jim Gibbons putting up a very brave fight, but there was no money. And
yeah,
once there's no money,
article,
you're done.
That article you just mentioned, Sam, doesn't bode well for John, and he knows that. He knows he's going to have to pick up the pace if he wants to be a player come the next election cycle.
So. Yeah, it should have started 4 years ago.
For any incumbent senator, it's a 24/7 prospect of trying to raise money for re-election. But, he's dug himself a deep hole.
Do you think if you... either you or someone else is in the GOP is going to challenge him in 2 years? Do you think he'll have a strong
Do I think he'll have a primary? I think he'll have a primary.
You think he'll still be there?
I don't know who.
You think he'll still be there?
Will he? You know, you're asking me to speculate. I can't speculate on something like that. But if he chooses to stay in, will there be a competitive primary? Probably.
All right. I want to ask you a different topic here. What is your greatest concern about a lame duck session with the Democrats still having majorities in both houses and the president?
Taxes. Taxes is my biggest concern. We do not know what we're going to look like. Here we are, less than 100 days out from the end of the year. We do not know what our tax structure is going to look like. And my biggest concern is that this lame duck session, we're going to start raising taxes. And we're going and we're talking the extensions, of course, of all the tax reductions from 2002 and 2003, and that they're saying the top 2 or 3% that we're going to let those fade away. That's a huge tax increase on small businesses. 50% of the small businesses in this country are going to be hit by a tax increase at the worst economic situation that we've had since the Great Depression, and I don't believe it bodes well. So taxes are the biggest concerns that I have going into this lame duck session.
Okay, now, Dean, you along with a Democratic congresswoman from Arizona successfully passed the Ultralight Smuggling Prevention Act.
Right.
And what that does is it boosts the penalties for people who bring drugs into our country using ultralight aircraft, which were exempt from the tariff law of 1930. Could you explain the importance of this law?
Well, ultimately, this shows that with the great divide that we have in Washington, D.C., that you actually can get something done, and you can do it in a bipartisan manner. And so Congresswoman Giffords from Arizona and I teamed together, understanding the impact that it has on drug smuggling here in Nevada. And obviously, those ultralight planes aren't making it all the way to Nevada, but any drug smuggling coming into New Mexico, California, Arizona, or Texas has impact with the drug problems that we have here in Nevada. So we teamed together because the fines and penalties are far less by taking an ultralight plane across the border than a regular airplane or an automobile for that matter. So all we did was we leveled we raised the fines and penalties on an ultralight plane so that they match those of an automobile or a larger airplane.
Okay. During this campaign, I've heard a lot about green jobs and green energy, that it could someday take over as Nevada's number one industry.
Uh-huh.
And not gaming. Do you really see that happening, that green jobs, green energy could have that large of an impact on our state?
Well, first of all, I have supported the expansion of alternative sources of energy while I've been in Washington, D.C. In fact, I'm one of 30 or 40 Republicans that actually supported the goals of trying to expand alternative sources to 25 to 30% of the energy that we use in this country. Do I think it's going to outstrip gaming or mining or any of those issues? If it does, it's going to be 10, 15 years from now. So that's why I think we have to have a comprehensive policy when it comes to alternative energy. But I am one that has supported, in fact, with my colleagues, our Nevada colleagues, as a delegation, we've worked very closely together. I think what geothermal can be to Reno is what oil was to Houston, or what sunlight
Really?
Oh, absolutely. The opportunity, and there's no place better, for example, taking solar. The intensity of solar rays between Las Vegas and Tonopah are far greater than anywhere else in the country. So I think what solar could be to Las Vegas, what geothermal can be to Reno, is what oil was to Houston.
And that's where we have to leave it. Always a pleasure to have you on the program, Sarah. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
Harry Reid versus you. Harry Reid, living large in the D.C. Ritz-Carlton. You, living in the state with the highest unemployment rate, worried about paying the mortgage. Harry Reid, making $1 million from a sweetheart land deal. You, just trying to make ends meet, wondering how you're going to take care of your family. Harry Reid, pushing loopholes in ethics laws for his own family. You, had enough?
I'm Sharon Angle, and I approve this message.
On the next Face-to-Face, Attorney General Catherine Cortez Masto is defending her office against two challengers. We'll meet them all in a three-way debate among Masto, Republican Travis Barrick, and Independent American candidate Joel Hanson. That's next, Face-to-Face.
Sharon Angle voted against background checks to identify sex predators. She's against enforcing restraining orders that protect victims of domestic violence. She says rape victims should be forced to have the baby. Sharon Angle would wipe out Social Security, Medicare, and she'd privatize the VA.
Oh, she's wild. She's wild. I mean, and with the wild ideas she has, we would never get anything done.
I'm Harry Reid, and I approve this message.
The odds of the Big Easy winning the U.S. Open twice? 1 in 1.2 billion. The odds of him having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 110. Ernie Els encourages you to learn the signs of autism.
Sharon Engel.
Your ideas are just too extreme and dangerous.
You told rape victims to make
a lemon situation into lemonade.
Really?
Giving criminals massages.
For prisoners?
That is a waste of taxpayers' money.
If you're going to prison, you're going to serve time.
You want to take care of prisoners, but yet you want to punish victims. That's just not right.
Sharon, you're too dangerous
to have real power
over real people.
Patriot Majority PAC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
This segment is brought to you by the Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cures.
And now we continue with part two of our interview with top lobbyist Jim Wadhams.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Jim Wadhams, an attorney with the law firm of Jones Vargas. Now, the legislature is not going to be enlarged. That's pretty much been decided. Therefore, the northern districts will be huge. How can one person properly represent the citizens in their district? Do we buy them a plane to get around?
Well, I think that's an excellent point, and I guess I'm just going to disagree. I think that it's too soon to decide that the number of bodies in the legislature won't be increased. I understand.
You think there's an appetite for increasing the number of legislators?
I'm not sure that there's an appetite, but once the discussion really takes place, because of the problem that you raised, you'll have one state senator for all of rural Nevada rather than two. And then that really cuts the representation for that group of, let's estimate 80,000 people to have
You have 2 million people in Las Vegas and close to 1 million people outside of Las Vegas. So that's what you're looking at.
It's going to reduce the representation from Washoe County, but it's going to dramatically reduce the representation from the rural part of the state. So 80% of this land mass of this state, where people are from Ely all the way to Winnemucca, may have one legislator. And there's a great diversity in this state, and I think that's going to be an issue once that starts to be discussed more seriously. There may be some consideration for adding a couple of three more seats, one in the Senate, maybe two or three in the Assembly. Now, perhaps not, but then the answer is, how do you make sure that you haven't forgotten parts of the state? We hear many times about this north-south issue. We really have three parts of the state. We have the north and the south, and we have the rural part of the state. And that part of the economy is very important. And I'm just not sure that at the end of the session, there is not still some life in adding a couple more seats.
Were you concerned when listening to the debate, the governor's debate, in this most recent one where Brian Sandoval responded to basically a fair share question, which was, is there an inequity in the amount of money that goes from Clark County to Carson City and the amount of money that comes back? And he said that was something he would want to look at.
Well, I think that's a fair question, and that's a decent answer. And I think anybody who's governor and all the legislators are going to have to evaluate that, because we constantly have that issue brought up from a political standpoint, and everybody needs to be satisfied that which needs to be done for the benefit of the state is being done. It's simple to say 70% of the people live here in Las Vegas, therefore 70% of all the public resources should be done here. And yet, once you do that, towns like Elko, Winnemucca, Ely, they get pennies, and they can't take care of their Medicaid patients. It just simply doesn't make sense. You've got to have some counterbalancing. Now, between Reno and Las Vegas, that fairness issue is important and can be dealt with differently, but we cannot overlook the number of people in the sparsely populated
state. And it was many years ago, and it was quite wrenching.
Well, and to be fair, I think at that period of adequate job of keeping their assessments up on their property tax, and that was largely where that fair share issue came from.
Senator Raggio, not unexpectedly, endorsed Harry Reid over Sharon Engel. Will this come back to bite him when the next legislature convenes?
Oh, I suspect that it will. I mean, this is a world now of politics and in the legislature, and it may very well. Senator Raggio, I've been working in our legislature since 1975. He's been there a little longer than I have, but he's an individual that's willing to take positions sometimes that are not necessarily popular with the party that he's a part of. So I wasn't surprised. And depending on the complexion of the Senate, depending on the complexion of his caucus, it could come back to bite him. Perhaps not, though.
Both candidates for governor proclaim no new taxes. Does this mean the legislature writes its own budget? And if so, does the governor almost become a lame duck from day one?
No, I don't think so. I think, again, as you asked me in an earlier question, I think both of these gentlemen are very bright, and they understand the problem they're going to face. I think both of them anticipate and probably hope that there will continue to be some improvement in the revenue picture so that it can minimize what has to be done, both in terms of cutting or the possibility of expanding fees. And I think that that's probably where both of them are going to have to look, is getting more revenue from user fees to defray the benefit that is actually bestowed upon identifiable segments. From the public standpoint, the public is not willing to consider new taxes. So it's going to be a difficult time.
Well, now, the Review Journal, in conjunction with PBS station and Channel 8, did a survey that said that the public was willing, that about 50% of the public was willing to look at the potential for new taxes, which surprised me.
And that may be an opportunity for legislators as we progress through the session and the governor. But there will be a dialogue between those two branches of government. That poll may come back to be helpful, because it may be at the end of the day to continue with our education system as weak as it is today, to continue with it at that level, to maintain our prisons without letting people free that are violent offenders, we're going to need some additional revenue. So that poll may turn out to be helpful, but I'm not sure that that represents a voter sentiment as opposed to just an opinion response.
A very good distinction. Yes, sir, thank you. Always a pleasure to have you on the program.
Nice to be here.
We'll be right back on About a Newsmaker after this timeout.
I'm Sharon Angle, and I approve this message.
You're looking at every time Harry Reid voted to raise taxes. Income taxes, taxes on Social Security, taxes on small businesses, even the dreaded death tax. A staggering 300 times Reid voted to raise taxes, and it's a big reason for Nevada's economic meltdown. Now Reid and Pelosi are planning to raise taxes on 34 million families right after the election. Let's stop Harry Reid from ever raising our taxes again.
We've been selling carpet at Washburton for almost 50 years, and we've learned what you want. You want more choices. We've added hundreds of new samples for special orders to our large in-stock selection. You don't want surprises. There are no add-on prices, no hidden prices, and no phony sales. You want a good deal. One low price includes carpet, pad, and installation. Plus, get upgraded pad and removal of your old carpet at no extra charge. You want schnauzers? We've got schnauzers. So come to Washburton, where you'll always find first quality carpets for less.
Why should you hire a personal injury attorney? To prevent insurance companies from taking advantage of you.
That way, you don't have to go it alone. You need someone to fight for you.
When you're injured, it can change your life. And life-changing decisions need to be taken seriously.
When you hire Bob and me, all you need to worry about is getting better.
And let us get you back on track.
Call Galloway and Jensen. Over 50 years experience. 333-7555. We fight for you.
Getting the best in local news anytime, anywhere is now as easy as this. The News 4 iPhone app. You can get up-to-the-minute headlines, check the weather, watch featured stories, or even pull newscasts. Just another way News 4 is dedicated to getting you the information you want to know. Just search KRNV in the App Store. Don't have an iPhone? Check out My News 4 Mobile.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com.
Thanks, Sam. Tomorrow we're going to have a debate between the candidates for treasurer. We have incumbent Kate Marshall against Republican Steve Martin, and also George Harris for Nevadans for Sound Government.
We'll see you on the next broadcast. Thanks for watching and listening.